Welcome to How to Build a Tent, California Edition, a podcast about how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. I am currently in California. A lot of great stuff happening. Thank you for listening to the show, for sharing the show with a friend. You can find the show on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. Love for you to give me a follow, share the show, tag a friend on the social media sites. Would really appreciate that. For those of you who normally listen to the live stream or watch the live stream, I apologize. We have gone down to just doing the Facebook audio for now because of how hectic my travel schedule is. But I really appreciate you guys listening. It is just a humbling experience to see how the show has grown. So thank you very much for that. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Over to fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in the memo field and you will get a free coffee mug, which I was just talking with somebody today at a lunch event where we might have an official coffee of How to Build a Tent. It's a cold brew coffee. I love cold brew coffee. I made a mistake once when I went to Starbucks and I tried cold brew for the first time and I didn't realize how strong it was. And I got a grande cold brew and man, I was wired the rest of the day. Usually caffeine doesn't really impact me, affect me that bad. I can actually drink coffee before I go to bed and be just fine and don't have to worry about getting up. I know some people are like that, some people are not like that. But I just guzzled down a grande cold brew and wow, I was just jittery and I was driving for like 3 hours up California. So that was just a bad time to be jittery because I had to be in one place while I was driving. Anyway, so that's exciting news. Just a lot of things God is doing and I'm so thankful for it. So there was some bad news or shocking news or surprising news. I'm not sure how bad it is. I mean, it's not great news. But the jobs report came out and the actual 75,000, and it was expected that we would hit 180,000. So almost 105,000 less jobs were added to the economy last month, which was a big shocker. Funny enough, the stock market actually went up on that news. We'll get to that in a second. Unemployment stayed the same at 3.6%. Average hourly earnings was up to, I believe it was 3.1%. It was a tenth percent lower than expectations. And it was very interesting to see how the stock market would react because in past times, in the last 8-10 years, the stock market would be positive to negative news and it would seem negative to positive news because it was so dependent on the Fed and what they were doing with interest rates. And really what has happened as the market has been hooked on quantitative easing, like you could be hooked on drugs. And I was curious to see this next time around when we got not good news or bad news. I guess we can just be honest about it. It's bad news. Although I heard one interesting theory that I'll get to in a second, which I don't really believe, but it was just funny. And I don't know if they were really a pro-Trump person. I'm not sure who said it, but it was on Yahoo Finance. And I know Yahoo Finance is not typically pro-Trump. Anyways, So the stock market in the past has reacted poorly to good news or not as good. Although actually, to be fair, recently the stock market has been doing good and we've been getting good news. But in the past, before Trump came into office, the stock market would do better with bad news and do worse with good news because that meant that the Federal Reserve was going to continue the quantitative easing. If they were continuing to do it or not buy back more of their, not sell more of their bonds, which would tighten up liquidity. And it was interesting to see. And I was waiting for some bad news to happen and how the stock market would react. Because what should happen is the stock market should be based on fundamentals. It should be based on the health of the companies that it represents. It should be based on the economy that the stock market is in and how well that they believe the company is going to do, the economy is going to do, and when good things happen, they should be positive about it. That's a healthy market, but we have been living in a drug users' financial world for a long time where we want to see more quantitative easing, because what happens, the more quantitative easing, the more cash, the more inflation, which means stock prices go up. Stocks are a great hedge against inflation. And that is what we saw. So that was a little interesting. I wonder if we will ever get to a time where the Federal Reserve will stop being such a driving force, such an important factor in the stock market. I don't think it's a healthy thing. I'm not sure how we get out of it. So I mentioned that there's this one guy who is saying, talking about the jobs report. I thought it was an interesting perspective. I really haven't been hearing it. I don't really believe it, but I just thought it was an interesting perspective where he was saying, and again, this is Yahoo Finance, so they're not really pro-Trump, right? I mean, if it's not Fox News, they're not pro-Trump. He was saying that we're going to see slower and slower jobs being added because we're getting closer and closer to full employment. And that the reason we're not adding jobs is not that we have so many people looking for jobs and there's just not jobs available, but that we have so many jobs available, just not enough people skilled in those particular areas to fill them. Now, that part is true. That is actually happening. We have more jobs than people are, that people have skills for. And so we're seeing shortages, and we're actually seeing big companies being able to compete and pull the top talent away from smaller businesses. And smaller businesses are leaving positions unfilled or hiring unqualified workers to fill the job and having to train them on the site, which is not always a bad thing. You may be able to pay them less, and the difference of what you save from paying them less might be a big enough margin for the training that is going to be required. And you might just kind of break even, hopefully. Anyways, but so the theory is that we're going to be adding less jobs because there's going to be a tightened labor market where the buyer, or I guess I should say the person looking for a job, is going to be in higher demand, which means we're going to might see wages go up. So I would think that if this theory is true, that we're going to start seeing wages go up faster and faster. And if that is true, that might mean inflation's coming around, but also that might mean that really the economy is doing well, it's just we're getting to a place of full employment. So there's something interesting to keep an eye on there. What else? Let's see. A 61-year-old self-made millionaire regrets spending on four things. What do you think those four things are? Well, I'm going to tell you. The first one is drugs and alcohol. And well, okay, that seems pretty obvious, except, you know, you can never regret buying really nice scotch. My wife and I had some delicious Belvini that some of you were sharing on social media and telling me if I ever came to your town, you'd share me some of that. I will definitely start putting those towns on the books. But yeah, drugs, definitely not a good thing. One, it's a waste of money. It doesn't provide any value whatsoever unless it's painkillers. And it makes you most likely a downer, unless, I guess I shouldn't say all drugs, because cocaine, people take cocaine and are high performers, but that, it's neither here nor there. I guess let's just not do drugs and alcohol. Second, traveling. And that one was an interesting one to me, because you think of millennials being the ones who are willing to travel and want to do the traveling and spend all their money on traveling, but we forget that, hey, traveling was around before millennials existed. And this self-made millionaire regrets spending so much traveling. And I imagine it's because, one, you're spending a lot of money on travel, but two, it's taking away time from doing what you can do to grow your wealth. And, you know, the sooner you can grow your wealth, the better off you're going to be, just like the investing. The more money you can invest early on, the better off you're going to be. And if you're spending your time traveling, you're not spending that money on investing, you're not spending that money on starting companies. You're spending money on things that aren't going to grow your wealth. It's going to actually take your wealth away. So that is a really good one. Sleeping in. Oh, man. Now that I have kids, I wish I could sleep in. Apparently, this person did not have kids growing up early on. And if you struggle with sleeping in, all you have to do is get married and have kids. And you will never sleep in again. I promise you that. The fourth thing he said was you're being too comfortable in your job. And we've talked about that one before, where we need to stop just being comfortable in our jobs, but being pushed further and further to be challenged, to be a little nervous, to have a little anxiety, to help grow and stretch us and to create more skills so that we can be more valuable and that we can rise up in higher positions. We can be more valuable to small companies and startups, that we can start our own companies, and that we can be more influential in our cultures that we are in, and we can be more of an authoritative figure, that we can proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. So don't be comfortable. If you are on the edge wondering if you should take that risk and you feel that God is leading you that way, go for it. Comfort is not always a great thing to have in life, although it is something that we all really love. It's really easy to stay in a comfortable position, but God definitely calls us out of our comfort zone a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. All right, so this was another interesting story that I wanted to share with you guys. There's this 34-year-old, another self-made millionaire, and it says, if you could just make $70,000, you could retire in 10 years. And he goes on and he talks about his life. He had $2.26 in his bank account. He said he didn't even have enough for guacamole and at Chipotle. And what's more pathetic than not being able to get that extra guac at Chipotle? And I have to say, I'm just going to give a shout out to the guacamole at Chipotle. Yeah, there's probably preservatives in it. Yeah, it's like probably not pure avocados and it's got a bunch of other stuff in it. But man, of all of the non-homemade guacamoles that you buy in stores, like besides the like authentic Mexican food that makes it fresh every day, that guacamole is pretty good. And if you don't have good Mexican food, Chipotle is, it's not really Mexican food, but it's close enough where it's pretty good. So shout out to Chipotle for that. But if you have never really had true Mexican food, please do yourself a favor and go to the border or go down into Mexico and get fantastic Mexican food. It's nothing better in this life than good Mexican food. And okay, so he had $2.26 in his bank account. Couldn't even get the guac. Had to get the burrito, very dry, without one of the best parts in Mexican food, which is guacamole. And I'm just biased because I'm a Californian, and you have to like guacamole and avocados if you live in California. But what he came to realize is that he couldn't live like this any longer. And so what he did is he started doing anything he could to make money. He started hustling. He started putting in and finding ways to make money any ways he could. He didn't stop. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't think of his lack of a high IQ, a high IQ. Obviously, I don't have a high IQ. I can't even say it. He didn't see that as a barrier to not being successful, but he decided he was going to out-hustle everyone. And he ended up with 13 different income streams. Now, that is a lot, and I don't think we all need to have 13, but we should not be scared to have multiple streams of income. And even, again, I've talked about this in the prior shows, that even if you start out with small streams and then figure out how to grow it or replace it with another stream that's going to bring in more money, just starting and getting comfortable with having multiple streams of income in and how to set that up is really important, and it's going to be helpful for you. Because once you start seeing some money flow in, that's going to help you, encourage you to continue building that out. I'd highly do that. And what he ended up doing was saving 80% of his income. So he was saving 80%. So he would save, what is that, 70, 10%, 14. So 14,000 minus the 70,000 is $56,000 he was saving and spending the rest. 5 years, 3 months, 6 days later, he saved $1.2 million. And he said, saving is not a sacrifice, it's an opportunity. I like that. I like that a lot, because how we perceive the struggle that we go through to better ourselves, delayed gratification, discipline, is going to help determine how effective we are and how successful we are. If you look at sacrifice as a woe is me and you're pitying all the time, it's going to be really hard for you to achieve your goals. But if you look at it as an opportunity and as motivation and as a positive, and you keep your eyes on the goal, and that's what we've talked about before, how important vision is and how goals are very important. then you're going to have a better chance of being successful at what you are striving for. And he said that was what it took to become a millionaire in with $70,000 a year in 5 years, 3 months, 6 days. Sacrifice. Overhaul your income. You got to realize the sacrifices are just short term. You may have to live in a crappy apartment for a little while, but it's not forever. It's not forever. And that's another very helpful mindset to have and something to remember, because when you're thinking, especially if you have a family, about talking about sacrifices and saving up money and cutting expenses, as you feel like it's the end, that if I just go without cable, I'm never going to be able to have cable again. I'm never going to have TV again. And it's like this long, drawn-out process. But really, if you can just sacrifice those things, get to a place where you have those multiple streams of income, you have a bunch of money saved up that you can invest and you can get more income in, well, maybe you can afford to have cable back again. But this is just kickstarting you to get your money, to build it up, to start a business, to start investing, to get multiple streams of income. And then the sacrifices can start being brought back in as luxuries into your life. You may have to live in a crappy place, but you're not going to live in a crappy place forever. And when you're making these sacrifices now, it's going to ensure that it is not a long-term thing, but a temporary thing, opposed to somebody who's just spending their money, not saving up. They might end up in a long-term crappy situation, a crappy apartment, or a crappy situation. It's often linked. And he also recommended cutting your expenses as much as possible, making it a game. You see that you cut your expenses by 10% the first month. Well, see if you can cut it another 5% the next month, and then maybe another 2%. And keep going and going and seeing just how much you can do and making fun of it, make a game, and starting the side hustles. So if you're cutting the expenses, you're starting the side hustles, you're increasing your revenue, that is going to grow your profits. That's going to grow your wealth. You're increasing the money coming in and you're decreasing the money going out. And that is how he was able to become a millionaire after not affording guacamole at Chipotle. Thought that was a very encouraging story with a lot of good practical tips for us. The last thing I wanted to hit on today was something I didn't even realize until after I left the islands. I sold my car to a girl who left her receipt in the cash. She paid for cash. And she bought the car for me. And she left the, so she gave me the cash. And I looked at it, and it said that there was a cash advance to pay part of the money she gave me. And now, what is like a cash advance? I think it's like 18 to 22% on your credit card. And that just made me so sad. And I wanted to bring it up, not because I want to make this lady feel bad. She's not even going to listen to the show. I didn't tell her I worked at a podcast. I have a podcast or anything like that. But the reason I want to bring it up is that is a terrible financial decision. And I know that in our society, it is a lot easier to have cars, especially depending on what areas you're in. If you're in a big city, not as much, but in more of a suburb area in the country, you probably need a car of some kind to make your life easier. But I'm telling you, 18 to 22% interest on a car loan for a used car is not worth it. That is what's going to make you poor. I mean, let's just say that it was a $10,000 car. 22% interest, if you pay that off in 5 years, you're going to be paying $15,896.33 on a car that you paid $10,000 for. You're going to pay an extra $5,900 in interest. It's like an extra third. It's an extra half. That's 50% more. That's becoming poorer, not wealthier, and I don't want you to do that. Then there's repairs, then there's insurance, and then there's all these other things that you know are going to happen. Now, what do? Take the bus, carpool, use Uber, borrow a car, do whatever, see if you can work from home. Do whatever you can to not have to spend money on a car and have more than spend money on a car, not spend money on a car. Have to have that high of interest to buy a car. If it takes you, you know, 3 or 4 months of taking the bus to save up for $3,000 or $4,000 to be able to pay for a crappy car in cash, do that. you're going to be much more wealthy than buying a really cool car with a cash advance and a loan of 18 to 22%. So please, do not follow the mistakes of this little girl who sold the car to me and did that. I mean, I don't even know. If I would have known that beforehand, I would have been like, are you sure you want to buy this car? And I might have talked her out of the sell because, man, I just feel terrible for her. Do not make that mistake. Do not use cash advances on your credit card. The interest rate on those are astronomical. All right, now let's go out and be successful, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.